Today's reading is printed in your missal, if you want to look at it, page 2 of your missal. So today, being January 1st, it is the Feast of St. Basil and also the commemoration of the circumcision of the Lord. And that subject of the circumcision comes up many times in the epistles of St. Paul. And some months ago, I promised that on January 1st, on the Feast of the Circumcision, I would give once and for all the year an explanation of that so that, you know, we don't stumble over that. And believe me, it's difficult to put into a little 10-minute presentation, you know, something that takes several hours perhaps. Anyway, circumcision is the cutting off of the foreskin of a male, typically in infancy, for medical, traditional, or religious reasons, especially in Judaism and Islam. In the Bible, there are references to two states of circumcision, which are called circumcision of the flesh and circumcision of the heart. Circumcision of the flesh was the ritual cutting off of the foreskin from the body part associated with pleasure. It was intended to be a symbol of the circumcision of the heart, which is the cutting off and willful rejection of superfluous pleasure and carnal passions, and the mindset of the flesh, and the conscientious acceptance of a lifestyle according to the will of God. In the Old Testament, circumcision was considered a sign of faith, of being a descendant of Abraham, and of a lifestyle of self-restraint. God gave circumcision to Abraham and to the Jews to distinguish them from the other nations, the Gentiles, so they wouldn't mix with them and learn their impious ways. It is possible to be circumcised in the flesh, but not take it to heart, not live according to the will of God. And this is what it means to have an uncircumcised heart. The opposite is true. It is possible to be intact physically, but to cut off the mindset of the flesh and to live according to God's will. And this is the circumcision of the heart. Christ was circumcised in the flesh physically 8 days after he was born. And we remember that event today, 1 week after Christmas. Then, as an adult, he taught what it meant to cut off the mindset of the flesh and to live according to God's will. He taught that to do that, one must die and be born again in a new and different way, and he instituted Christian baptism to be that death and rebirth. Christian baptism includes a conscientious promise, often the promise of a sponsor, to turn away from sin and pursue the godly lifestyle, as taught by the apostles of Christ and their successors within the church. St. Paul, along with the other apostles of Christ, taught that circumcision of the flesh is no longer needed because that symbol has been superseded by the very thing it symbolized. So in today's text, we have an example of the translator trying to make sense of what St. Paul was saying and therefore interpreting and expanding a little bit on it, and that we can't be confident that there was a correct expansion and amplification because they weren't following Orthodox theology or the commentators of the Orthodox Church. So I'm going to kind of unravel that and then give you another paraphrase of what that would be according to the Orthodox commentaries that I read. So where it says, brethren, see that no one makes prey of you, we should understand, make sure that nobody robs you and leads you astray. Then it says, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, please. All it says is according to the elements of the world. And we said this in another time, meaning religious practices that are based on sun and moon and eclipses and seasons and things like that. It's not some New Age thing. And then further down, it says, you have come to fullness of life in him. Well, the word in life is not in there. Just basically, you are complete in him, you are filled in him, and actually in the Orthodox means you have everything, that all the grace that Christ is making available to you is what it means. Furthermore, down it says, the head of all rule and authority, that Christ is the head, and this misses the reference to the orders of angels, which really means every principality and authority, two of the nine orders of angels. And anyway, let me just read you a paraphrase, taking into account all these unraveling, restating, re-understanding according to the Orthodox commentaries. If we were to amplify today's reading and unpack it for you, it would be something like this. Brethren, see to it that no one robs your mind and leads you astray by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, based on the principles of this world instead of on Christ. Why give credence to those human ideas and not to Christ, when in Christ the whole fullness of divinity dwells bodily? And you are filled with the grace of his divinity in him by being united to him, who is the head of the heavenly hosts, every principality and authority, not only their head, but their master and creator. You don't need physical circumcision, because in Christ you have been circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hand, but by Christ, by the circumcision that Christ effects, which is baptism, by the body's putting off of every sin of the flesh. How? At baptism, you renounced and cut out sin from your whole body, not just from one member like in Jewish circumcision, but you died in baptism. By baptism, you have been buried with Christ. And not only that, by baptism, you are also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. By baptism, God the Father has brought you to life with Christ. He has forgiven us all our sins. That is why baptism, the circumcision that Christ does, is immeasurably superior to the old circumcision. The old one did not forgive sins, nor promise resurrection and new life. It is Christ who does that through baptism, which opens the door for chrismation and holy communion of his body and blood, which unites us with him.